This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما. So in yesterday's class we learned about the companions. Was there anything that you thought about afterwards? Anything that came to your mind? Any lesson that you learned for yourself? That the companions, they lived their lives, they supported the Prophet ﷺ, the deen, and we are basically enjoying the fruit of their labor. And this is the reason why they are muhsin, meaning they have done a lot of ihsan on us. And because of that ihsan on us, what is it that we should do? Love them, respect them, and praise them. And it's unfortunate that if we ever talk about the strength of iman, then we are concerned about criticizing the companions and finding their faults. Right? Meaning completely opposite behavior. So today, inshallah, we're going to learn about the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Makanatu ahlil bayti. The position of Ahlul Bayt, the status of the Ahlul Bayt. Who are the Ahlul Bayt? Ahlul Bayt meaning family, people of the house, meaning the household of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what is their status? Makanatu Ahlil Bayt al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam inda Ahlis Sunnati wal Jama'ah, near the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Meaning, what is it that the Ahlus Sunnah say about the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Now, remember that the companions, the Sahaba, they have a very esteemed position, right? Near the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And the family of the Prophet ﷺ also holds a very respected position near the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. وَيُحِبُّونَ أَلَى الْبَيْتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَيُحِبُّونَ And they love. Who loves? The Ahlus Sunnah. Who do they love? أَلَى بَيْتِ The people of the house. Whose house? Of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning the members of his household, the Ahlus Sunnah, love them. وَيَتَوَلَّوْنَهُمْ And they also befriend them. Two things are mentioned here. First of all, يُحِبُّونَ And then, يَتَوَلَّوْنَ And this is part of our aqidah. This is of the fundamentals of Ahlus Sunnah. That the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should be beloved to us. We should love his wives, we should love his children, we should love his grandchildren, we should love those of his relatives who believed in him. And that includes his cousins as well as his uncles, certain uncles and cousins that believed in him. We love all of them. يَتَوَلَّوْنَهُمْ يَتَوَلَّوْنَ What does it mean? To befriend. Right? To love and befriend. Support. Meaning, we love his family and we consider them as our friends. We don't consider them as strangers or as enemies. Who are they instead? They are friends to us. We treat them as friends. And this is the reason why we aid them, we support them, and we praise them. Why? Because the family of the Prophet ﷺ, did he love his family? So if he loved them, ﷺ, why should we not love them? It's only natural, right? In so many ahadith, we see how the Prophet ﷺ expressed his love for Fatima radhiallahu anha, expressed his love for Aisha radhiallahu anha, expressed his love for his grandsons. So if he loved them, isn't that enough for us to love them? Because it's only natural that when you love a particular individual, then all those who are associated to them, you begin to appreciate them as well. You begin to honor them as well. It's only natural. And if you dislike those who are related to them, then that means there's a problem with that love. It's not really true love. Because if it was true love, then you would love all those who are associated to them. So we love the family of the Prophet ﷺ mainly because of two reasons. Firstly, because of iman, because they were believers, those of them who believed. And every believer, because of his iman, he deserves to be loved. And secondly, due to their kinship to the Prophet ﷺ, because they were related to him. They shared the same blood. They were related to him. Now the question is, who are the Ahlul Bayt? Who are they? The family of the Prophet ﷺ. In a hadith we learn, which is in Muslim, But the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, أذكركم الله في أهل بيتي, أذكركم الله في أهل بيتي, أذكركم الله في أهل بيتي. I remind you of Allah concerning my family. And he said this three times. So the narrator, one of the narrators, when he was narrating this hadith, he was asked that who are the family of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم? Isn't it his wives? And he was told, نِسَاؤُهُ مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ. His wives, of course, they are from his family. And then he clarified that the Ahl Bayt of the Prophet ﷺ, they include Alu Aliyin, the family of Ali radiallahu anhu. Because who is Ali radiallahu anhu? Son-in-law, right? And not just son-in-law, but also cousin. وَآلُ عُقَيْلٍ وَآلُ جَعْفَرٍ وَآلُ عَبَّاسٍ. So remember that the family of the Prophet ﷺ doesn't just refer to Fatima radiallahu anha, Ali radiallahu anhu, and their children. But it refers to all of the relatives of the Prophet ﷺ that believed in him. Abbas radiallahu anhu was his uncle. He believed. He's part of Ahlul Bayt. As well as his children, his descendants, his family. The family of Uqayl, the family of Ja'far. Alright? And these were also relatives of the Prophet ﷺ. And the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, are they part of Ahlul Bayt? Of course they are. Because in the Qur'an, the only one place where the Ahlul Bayt are mentioned, it is in the context of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. In Surah Al-Ahzab where, Ya أَيُّهَا النَّبِيُّ قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ, say to your wives, right? And then later on, in the same passage, what is said? That إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. Who is being called the family of the Prophet ﷺ? It's the wives. So remember that all of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, as well as his children, his uncles, his cousins, his nephews, those who believed, who are they? All part of Ahlul Bayt. However, those who did not believe amongst them, even if they were very close to the Prophet ﷺ in kinship, we do not love them. Like for example, Abu Lahab, he was an uncle, blood relative, but he did not believe. So do we love him? No, we do not. Abu Talib, he was an uncle. He even supported the Prophet ﷺ, defended him, protected him. But he did not believe in him. So do we love him? No. We appreciate the fact that he supported the Prophet ﷺ and we acknowledge that. However, we don't love him the way we should love Fatima radiallahu anha and the way we should love Ali radiallahu anhu. وَيَحْفَظُونَ فِيهِمْ. So the first thing is loving them and befriending them. And then, وَيَحْفَظُونَ فِيهِمْ. And they preserve, they guard concerning them. Concerning who? The family of the Prophet ﷺ. What do they remember? وَصِيَّةَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. The advice, the instruction of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. حَيْثُ قَالَ. In which he said, يَوْمَ غَدِيرِ خُمٍ. On the day of غَدِيرِ خُمٍ. What did the Prophet ﷺ say on that day? What wasiyah did he give? أُذَكِّرُكُمُ اللَّهَ فِي أَهْلِ بَيْتِي. I remind you of Allah concerning my family, the family, the people of my house. Now, look at the words over here. They remember, they guard, they preserve the wasiyah of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. What is wasiyah? An important instruction, right? Something that is given as an amanah, basically. That you better remember this and you better implement this. And do not neglect this at all. So the Prophet ﷺ advised his ummah. Concerning who? Concerning his family. When? On Yawma Ghadir Khum. Yawma, on the day of Ghadir Khum. What is Ghadir? Ghadir is basically like a small stream. Okay? And this Ghadir was named Khum. Why? Khum was the name of a man. And like you know, Badr was also a well named after a man. Right? So this was something very common. And this is natural that places and certain things and streets even, they take the name of people. Right? So remember that after the Hajj, after the Prophet ﷺ performed Hajj, on his way back from Makkah to Medina, he stopped at a place near Juhfa, and it was the Ghadir of Khum. He stopped over there in order to camp. And this was on the 18th of Dhul Hijjah. And over there, the Prophet ﷺ addressed the people. And when he addressed them, he gave them certain wasiyah. And part of that wasiyah was also this, with respect to his family. What did he say? أُذَكِّرُكُمُ اللَّهَ فِي أَهْلِ بَيْتِي. And he said this three times. He said this three times. I remind you of Allah concerning my family. Meaning, remember Allah, fear Him, fear His punishment when you wish to violate the rights of my family. And remember Allah and remember His reward when you intend to give my family their rights. So in other words, when you're dealing with my family, I remind you of Allah. Fear Him and have hope in His mercy. This is a very serious statement. What does it imply? That when a person is dealing with the Prophet ﷺ's family, he better be very careful. This is not something small. Alright? Because the family of the Prophet ﷺ, they hold a special status. And what is that status? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have chosen another people, another family, another group of people. Right? But He chose the Banu Hashim. He chose the Quraysh. He chose Abbas radiallahu anhu to be His uncle. Right? He chose Aisha radiallahu anha to be His wife. It could be so many other people, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the best people to be related to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the best companions to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Right? Because kuntum khayra ummah, the best ummah, best companions, best prophet, and that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also had the best family. So remember that we have to love the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and respect them and remember Allah in dealing with them. Now you might say, but today how do we deal with them? Our heart and our tongue. What do we think about them? And what do we say about them? That matters. وَقَالَ أَيْضًا لِلْعَبَّاسِ. And he also said to Abbas, who was Abbas radiallahu anhu, عَمِّهِ, his uncle. Abbas radiallahu anhu, he was a son of Abdul Muttalib, the brother of Abu Talib. So Abbas radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, when وَقَدِ اشْتَكَى, when he had complained, who had complained? Abbas radiallahu anhu had complained, إِلَيْهِ, to him, meaning to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What did he complain about? That أَنَّ بَعْضَ قُرَيْشٍ, that some people of Quraysh, they were يَجْفُ, they were being rude. With who? With Bani Hashim. And Abbas radiallahu anhu was part of the Banu Hashim. So when he felt that some people were being rude towards the Banu Hashim, they were not giving them their haqq. Yajfu is from Jafa, and Jafa is basically the opposite of Wafa. What is Wafa? To fulfill, to give to the other what he deserves. And Jafa is the opposite of that. To be rough, to be rude, to not acknowledge, to not recognize the status that a person holds, and to not give them their due rights. This is rudeness. And this includes disrespect, this includes violation of their rights. So when certain people were being rude with the family of the Prophet ﷺ, Abbas radiallahu anhu came and complained to Muhammad ﷺ. So what did the Prophet ﷺ say to him? فَقَالَ, so he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, by the one in whose hand is my soul. لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ, they cannot believe. حَتَّى, until يُحِبُّوكُمْ, they love you. لِلَّهِ, for the sake of Allah, وَلِقَرَابَتِي, and for the sake of my kinship, my closeness. Meaning, our iman is incomplete unless and until we love the family of the Prophet ﷺ. Why should we love them? For two reasons. لِلَّهِ, for the sake of Allah. Why? Why should we love them for the sake of Allah? Because they believe in Allah. And anyone who believes in Allah deserves to be loved by believers. Right? So regardless of the race, regardless of the culture, regardless of the age, regardless of the background, when someone believes in Allah, we should love them for the sake of Allah. So لِلَّهِ وَلِقَرَابَتِي, and due to my kinship, my closeness. Because firstly, we love them because of the fact that they're believers, and secondly, we must remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose these people to be the relatives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So He loved them, and they were close to Him. They shared the same blood. This is Allah's decision, and who are we to object? And who are we to not accept this reality? So the Prophet ﷺ said something very serious. وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحِبُّكُمْ لِلَّهِ وَلِقَرَابَتِي. What does it show to us? That this rudeness with the family of the Prophet ﷺ, this even existed in the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ. Some people were rude with the family of the Prophet ﷺ. Why? Because of envy. Jealousy. What jealousy? That they're related to him and we are not. Or they're close to him. You know, they are all from the same tribe. Or they are all from the same family. And the thing is that this jealousy, this it's part of human nature. Right? People lived at that time and people live today also. And it's because of this jealousy that certain people did not uphold the rights of the family of the Prophet ﷺ. This existed in the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ and this existed later on as well. You know, like, for instance, some people, when they talk about the family of the Prophet ﷺ, they consider them to be just any other ordinary family. What's the big deal? Right? As if they're trying to disconnect him from his family. But we know that a person cannot be disconnected from his family. Can he be? No. He is part of them and they are part of him. But many times it happens that even when we're dealing with people, we try to cut them off from who they are and what background they are of, and such things. And we say, oh, no, we just have to be just and fair and equal with everybody. Be just, be fair. But أَنزِلُ النَّاسَ مَنَازِلَهُمْ. Don't forget the family that they belong to, right? So, for instance, over here, people were disrespectful towards the Banu Hashim. They didn't want to acknowledge that they had any high status, any special status, just because they were related to the Prophet ﷺ. And this existed later on as well. And in fact, it took a very, very extreme form. So, لِلَّهِ وَلِقَرَابَتِي وَقَالَ. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى. Indeed, Allah chose Bani Ismail, the Banu Ismail. Allah chose them. And who was Ismail alayhi salam? The son of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah chose the children of Ismail alayhi salam. Wastafa, and he chose Mim Bani Ismail, from the Banu Ismail. Who did Allah choose? Kinana. Wastafa min Kinanata Quraishan, and he chose from the Kinana Quraish. Wastafa min Quraishin Bani Hashim, and he chose from the Quraish the Banu Hashim. وَاصْطَفَانِي مِنْ بَنِي هَاشِمْ, and he chose me from among the people of Banu Hashim. What does it show? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by choosing him, he chose his family. He chose his family. اصطفَى, اصطفَى. What does it show? Allah chose them above others. Allah selected them instead of others. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He can choose whoever He wants. Correct? وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ. He can create whatever He wants and He can also choose whosoever He wants. مَا كَانَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةِ. People do not have any choice concerning this. The decision lies only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we know that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides something, there is some hikmah behind it. There is some hikmah. So there is a reason why these people were chosen. Those who do not believe amongst them, we're not talking about them. We're talking about who? Those who believed amongst them. Because it doesn't matter if a person is even related to a prophet. If he does not believe himself, then his relationship is not going to help him. What happened to the son of Nuh alayhi salam? However, those who do believe, then Allah has certainly favored them. Allah has certainly given them a preference that He did not give to others. And this is something that we must acknowledge, that we must accept. Now, وَاصْطَفَى مِنْ بَنِي إِسْمَعِيلَ كِنَانَ. Who was Kinana? Kinana was the 14th father to the Prophet ﷺ. Meaning 14th ancestor, you could say. All right. And Quraysh was the 11th father. Okay. And Banu Hashim was the 3rd. All right. So the father of the Prophet ﷺ was who? Abdullah. His father was who? Abdul Muttalib. And who was his father? Hashim. All right. So, what is our attitude towards these people? The family of the Prophet ﷺ. We love them, but we do not raise them above their status. Remember that the Ahlul Sunnah, their approach is always of moderation, being balanced. Alright? So, we do not, you know, completely disconnect them from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, we don't do that. Nor do we exalt them so much so that they're given the status of the prophets or a status that is even higher than them. No, we love them, but we do not raise them above their status. Now, remember that hating the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is something very, very serious. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, by the one in whose hand is my soul. None, there is no person that hates even a single individual from the Ahlul Bayt إِلَّا أَدُخَلَهُ اللَّهُ النَّارِ, except that Allah will admit him in the hellfire because of his hate for the family of the Prophet ﷺ. This is very simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves his messenger, and his messenger loved his family. Think about it. If there is someone whom you love, and there is an individual who hates that person, would you like them? No. You would hate them simply because they hate your relative. They hate your loved one. It's very natural. It's very simple. It's logical. So remember that loving the family of the Prophet ﷺ is perfecting our love for the Prophet ﷺ, perfecting and completing our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, which is in At-Tirmidhi, we learn that the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Inni taraktu fikum," I am leaving amongst you that which if you hold on to, you will never go astray. One is the book of Allah, and the other, he said, my family. In some narrations we learn, and these are all authentic, sunnah, and in other contexts, in other situations, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned his family. Because as long as you will love the family of the Prophet ﷺ, you will respect them, their opinion, their decision, then what will happen? You will have respect for the deen, for the sharia. Because think about it, who were the family of the Prophet ﷺ? His companions. Right? Like for example, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, even though he's not from the Ahlul Bayt, but is he somehow related to the Prophet ﷺ? Yes. How? Father-in-law. Umar radiallahu anhu, was he related to the Prophet ﷺ? Yes, father-in-law. Ali radiallahu anhu, Uthman radiallahu anhu, each one of them was related, right? So remember that loving the family, the friends, the close companions, the close relatives of the Prophet ﷺ, this is something that keeps a person firm upon their religion. Because what have we been told to follow? The way of the companions. And the companions include who? The family of the Prophet ﷺ. So loving them is a way of remaining firm upon the deen. And why should we not love them when the Prophet ﷺ loved them? In a hadith we learned that once the Prophet ﷺ held Hassan and Hussein, his grandsons, and he was, you know, hugging them. And he was saying, Allahumma inni uhibbuhuma fa'ahibbahuma. Oh Allah, indeed I love both of them, so please you also love both of them. I love them, so you also love them, oh Allah. So think about it, if Allah loves them, the Prophet ﷺ loves them, who are we to not love them? Won't we be missing out on something if we did not love them? Then we see that the Prophet ﷺ also made dua for Abbas radiallahu anhu, for his family, for his children, for Ja'far radiallahu anhu, for his children. These were all relatives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What do we learn from this, what we have learned so far?
It's a requirement of our iman to have this love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's family.
Exactly. It's a requirement of iman to love the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because then your love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is complete. Anything else? Yes.
If you look at the family of Prophet ﷺ, everybody that is involved in his life, if you do not love them or you do not even think of them as part of your deen, then definitely your iman is incomplete. Yes.
Because each one of them played a very important role, right? If you think about Ali radiallahu anhu, what role did he play? A very important one in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, right? So all of his relatives played very important role. And even if they did not actively participate in battle and achieve great things like certain other companions, the fact that they were his relatives and they brought him happiness, and as the children came and a smile appeared on the face of the Prophet ﷺ, isn't that sufficient for us to love Hassan and Hussein? It's as simple as that. they brought comfort to him. Because they were the closest to him, they went in his house, they saw him how he used to be in his house. Remember Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu? So young, and he would go and stay, you know, for a sleepover in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and see how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent the night and what he did in the morning, in the night when he went for Fajr. So the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they narrated about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took a bath and how he performed wudu. So all of these matters we learn from them. So the companions in general, they have done a lot of ihsan to us, right? And the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also have done a lot of ihsan on us. We're not allowed to pick and choose from them, that we will only like Ali radiallahu anhu and not someone else from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No, like I mentioned earlier, the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam includes his wives, it includes his children, it includes his uncles, those who believed amongst them, his cousins and his nephews, those who believed amongst them. Balance is required over here as well, in the matter of love. Then, مَكَانَةُ أَزْوَاجِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The place, meaning the status of the azwaj, of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, عِنْدَ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ, according to the أَهْلُ السُنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ, meaning, what do the أَهْلُ السُنَّةِ think about the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? وَيَتَوَلَّوْنَ, and they love, they befriend, أَزْوَاجَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who are his wives? أُمَّهَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, the mothers of the believers. It's as simple as that. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam our mothers, then should we not love them? Isn't that sufficient of a reason? Aren't we supposed to love our parents? And for a mother, of course, you have a special kind of love, a different kind of love. Right? So when the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are called our mothers, then we must also love them and befriend them. And the fact is that Allah gave them this laqab. Allah gave them this laqab. What is a laqab? A title. Honorific. Right? This is a title that Allah gave them. النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ. And this laqab is not something ordinary. And we cannot deny this maqam, this high status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. So, they are our mothers. How? In terms of honor, respect, relationship. So we respect them the way we respect our mothers. We honor them the way we honor our mothers. We befriend them, we aid them, we defend them, we support them. وَيُؤْمِنُونَ, and they believe, بِأَنَّهُنَّ, that indeed they, أَزْوَاجُهُ, they will continue to be his wives, فِي الْآخِرَةِ, in the hereafter. They were his wives in this dunya, and they will be his wives in the akhirah. Why do we believe that? What's the basis of this belief? Remember in Surah Al-Ahzab, the wives of the Prophet ﷺ were given a choice. If you want this life, this dunya, its worldly benefits, then come. You'll be given and then you'll be sent. Then you cannot continue to be with the Prophet ﷺ. However, if you choose Allah, His Messenger, the home of the hereafter, then you have to do sabr. So the wives, what did they do? Who did they choose? Allah, His Messenger, the home of the hereafter. Right? So what does that mean? That the high status that they had in this life, in this world, it would continue in the Akhirah. The relationship that they had with the Prophet ﷺ, it would continue in the Akhirah. Alright? And the thing is that they were believing women who were free from nifaq. They died upon iman. And this is the reason why they will continue to be with the Prophet ﷺ in the Akhirah. In the Quran, we learned that the angels, what do? The carriers of the throne, they make dua for the believers. Right? And what do they say? رَبَّنَا وَأَدْخِلْهُمْ جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ أَلَّتِي وَعَدْتَهُمْ وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ أَبَائِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ وَذُرِّيَاتِهِمْ. Admit the believers into Jannah and also their families. And families, azwaj, are also mentioned. Which means that families that are related over here in this life, when they all remain on iman, they die in that state, and in the akhirah, they will continue to be families. Insha'Allah. So, the Ahlu Sunnah believe that بِأَنَّهُنَّ أَزْوَاجُهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ خُصُوصًا, especially خَدِيجَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا. Especially they acknowledge the high status of خَدِيجَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا. Why? because she was Ummah, the mother of أكثري, most أولاده of his children. And she was وأول من آمن به, the first person to believe in him. وعضده, and the first person to support him على أمره in his affair. وكان لها, and she used to have منه, with him, المنزلة العالية, an exalted high position. Beautiful words. خديجة رضي الله عنها, who was she? The first description that he gives of her is أم أكثر أولادي, the mother of majority of his children. You know that there was only one son, one child of the Prophet ﷺ who was born to Maria Qibtiyya. Otherwise, all the rest of the children were born through Khadija radhiallahu anha. Right? Two sons and four daughters. And then, she was the first one to believe in him. How? When the Prophet ﷺ came from Mount Hira, and he said, cover me, and finally when he told her, and he was doubting himself, what did she say? By Allah, Allah will never disgrace you. These words were what? Of not just comfort, of iman, of tasdeeq, of acknowledgement. She believed in him even before he believed in himself. He was doubting about what he had experienced. Shaky, confused, afraid. And Khadija radhiallahu anha believed in him and comforted him. And then she took him to Waraqa bin Nawfal. And Waraqa bin Nawfal also said words of acknowledgement. So she was the first one to believe in him. وَعَضَدَهُ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ, and also the first one to support him in his affair. How? Emotionally, being there for him and making him believe in himself. Because remember that doing anything new, it takes a lot of, you know, effort and it demands a lot of conviction. And if you're in doubt about what you're doing, if you're not confident, then you cannot carry on. So sometimes you need someone to tell you what you're doing is right. This is the right thing to do. Someone to agree with you. And Khadija radhiallahu anha was always there with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, encouraging him, comforting him. So she's the one who supported him. And then obviously she supported him in many other ways. With her wealth, and not just her wealth, also in how she did not leave him despite the difficulties that the entire family was enduring. I mean, think about the boycott that they had to go through. She supported him على أمره. وكان لها منه المنزلة العالية. And she used to have a very high position near the Prophet ﷺ. How? The Prophet ﷺ used to mention her, even after her death, praise her. And he would even send gifts to her friends. So much so that on one occasion, Aisha radhiallahu anha, she said that the Prophet ﷺ, إِذَا ذَكَرَ خَدِيجَةَ أَثْنَى عَلَيْهَا فَأَحْسَنَ الثَّنَى. That whenever he would mention her, he would praise her, and he would praise her beautifully. To the point that at one occasion, Aisha radhiallahu anha, she became a little jealous. And she said something that, why do you still think about that old woman? She's gone. And she said that, Allah has given you something much better. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَا أَبْدَلَنِي اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا. I have not gotten someone who's better than her. Khadija was the best. Because قَدْ آمَنَتْ بِي إِذْ كَفَرَ بِالنَّاسِ. She believed in me when people disbelieved in me. وَصَدَّقَتْنِي إِذْ كَذَّبَنِ النَّاسِ. She confirmed my truthfulness when people belied me. They called me a liar. وَوَاسَتْنِي بِمَالِهَا إِذْ حَرَمَنِ النَّاسِ. She supported me with her wealth when people deprived me. وَرَزَقَنِي اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَلَدَهَا. And Allah gave me children through her. إِذْ حَرَمَنِي أَوْلَادَ النِّسَى. When I did not get children through any other woman. So she really did have a very high position near the Prophet ﷺ. He loved her. He respected her. In another hadith, we learned that once she was coming to the Prophet ﷺ with some food and drink, and Jibreel came to him, and he said that she's coming, فَقْرَ عَلَيْهَا السَّلَامَ مِنْ رَبِّهَا. Give her salam from her Lord. وَمِنِّي, and also from me. Imagine Jibreel is saying to the Prophet ﷺ, please give her my salams. And give her salams from her Lord also. And tell her that she will have a home in Jannah. A beautiful home in Jannah. She was of the best of the women. وَالصِّدِّيقَةَ. And also الصِّدِّيقَة. Who is الصِّدِّيقَة? Bintu الصِّدِّيق, the daughter of Siddiq, Aisha رضي الله عنها. So وَالصِّدِّيقَةَ بِنْتَ الصِّدِّيقِ رضي الله عنهما. May Allah be pleased with both of them, father and daughter. التي قال فيها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the one about whom the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that فضل عائشة على النساء, the superiority of Aisha رضي الله عنها over all women, is كفضل الثريد, like the superiority of ثريد على سائر الطعام over all other different kinds of food. This is just an example that the Prophet ﷺ gave. Because tarid compared to other foods was considered much better. It's basically, you know, like we make lasagna, right? We put layers and layers of noodles, all right? So they also made something in which they layered bread, okay? And between the layers of bread was something else. So if you think about it, even today, food that is layered, I mean, requires a lot of time and effort and patience, and everything when it's come, you know, when it's put together, then it has a good taste. It really tastes well, right? The other day, somebody was showing me this recipe for a cake that is made from crepes. So imagine how thin crepes are. Okay, so you layer one on top of the other, on top of the other. So imagine a huge stack, and then in the middle there is a lot of filling or whatever. So, I mean, think about how much effort. I was like, to get even one bite of that, you need to put in so much effort. So, you'll reserve something like this for what? For special occasions. Special food for special occasions. The Prophet ﷺ said, Aisha radhiallahu anha, her status above other women is just like a special food that is reserved for special occasions over other food that we eat on a daily basis. Just an example to show how superior she was. Now, there is a question. Why is Aisha radhiallahu anha called As-Siddiqah? Abu Bakr radhiallahu anhu, we know why he's called Siddiq. Why? Because when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back from Mi'raj and he confirmed the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Siddiq. Right? What about Aisha radhiallahu anha? Because of her complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because of her truthfulness in her relationship with him. And all of this was revealed at what occasion? The incident of Ifk. The incident of Ifk. Right? Where she showed how much she trusted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how honest and committed even she was in her relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, Aisha radhiallahu anha, she also has a very high status. Now remember that these two wives especially are mentioned over here, Khadija radhiallahu anha and Aisha radhiallahu anha. And both of them are considered to be the best of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Each of them had special status. Each of them served the religion and supported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his mission at different times in different ways. Right? The manner in which Khadija radhiallahu anha helped the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha radhiallahu anha did not. At the time when Khadija radhiallahu anha helped the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha radhiallahu anha did not. Right? And later on, the way Aisha radhiallahu anha learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and taught that knowledge on, Khadija radhiallahu anha did not. So we should not get into the arguments of who's better. No point in that. Each one of them has a special status. The Prophet ﷺ, he once mentioned to Aisha radhiallahu anha about a dream that he had in which before he was married to Aisha radhiallahu anha, he was shown Aisha radhiallahu anha that this is your wife. هَذِهِ مْرَأَتُكْ. This is your wife. In Bukhari we learn that once the Prophet ﷺ said, يَا عَائِشْ أو عَائِشَ, and notice how he called her عَائِشْ. هَذَا جِبْرِيلُ يُقْرِئُكَ السَّلَامِ. This is Jibreel, he's giving salams to you. Aisha radhiallahu anha also said, this is a hadith in al-Siltarat al-Sahihah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her, that the pain of my death is becoming easier for me, because I am being told that you will be my wife in Jannah. He died in her lap. Right? He died in her house. She was with him. And in those last moments, he told her that, yes, you see me in a lot of pain. I am going through a lot of hardship, but I've been informed that you will be my wife in the hereafter. So yes, this parting is very painful. However, it's becoming easier for me because I am being told that you will be with me in the Akhirah. He loved her. And she loved him. And we have to respect this relationship, beautiful relationship that existed between them. We have to acknowledge it. And because we love the Prophet ﷺ, we also love the one whom he loved, his wife, Aisha radiallahu anha. Once we learn that, this is also a hadith in a silsilatu sahiha, that Aisha radiallahu anha said to the Prophet ﷺ, please make dua for me. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Allahumma ghfir li Aishata ma taqaddama min zambiha wa ma ta'akha wa ma asarrat wa ma a'lanat. That, oh Allah, forgive Aisha all of her sins, those that have already been done in those that will come later, and what she has concealed and what she has publicized. So Aisha radhiallahu anha became so happy, she started giggling, and in that she put her head in the lap of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, "My dua made you happy?" And she said, "Of course, your dua, would it not make me happy?" He said, "By Allah, in every prayer, in every salah, I make dua for my ummah. In every salah, I make dua for my ummah." Meaning, I do remember you in my du'as. I prayed for you right now, but I also pray for you otherwise. The Prophet ﷺ also said, Aisha radhiallahu anha said that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ used to say to his wives that, إِنَّ أَمْرَكُنَّ لَمِمَّا يُهِمُّنِي بَعْدِي. That your state after me, it worries me. Your condition, it worries me. That how are people going to treat you? وَلَنْ يَصْبِرَ عَلَيْكُنَّ إِلَّا الصَّابِرُونَ. And only the patient ones are going to be good with you. So he was worried about his wives, that the people are not going to be kind with them, give them their haqq, respect them the way they deserve to be respected. And he said that it's only the sabirun who will really be good with you. And this is the reason why at one occasion, Abdul Rahman bin Auf, when he received a whole lot of money, he sent some to Aisha radhiallahu anha. And when Aisha radhiallahu anha received it, she said, she mentioned this, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me that only the sabirun will be good towards you. And she made dua for him. Saqallahu Abdul Rahman ibn Auf min salsabil al-jannah. May Allah give Abdul Rahman bin Auf to drink from the salsabil of Jannah. So the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of them are special to us. And especially Khadija and Aisha radhiallahu anhuma. تبرؤ, the dissociation of أهل السنة والجماعة, of the أهل السنة والجماعة, مما يقوله, from that which they say, who say, المبتدعة, the innovators. Meaning, the أهل السنة والجماعة dissociate themselves from what the innovators say. The innovators say about who? في حق الصحابة وأهل البيت. Concerning the rights of the companions and the family of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Now, as we have learned, the family of the Prophet ﷺ, the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, they hold a high position, right? They deserve to be loved, they deserve to be respected. They were not perfect human beings. They did make mistakes, but regardless of that, we love them because of their closeness to the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, right? However, we see that certain people, they innovated many things concerning the Sahaba and concerning the family of the Prophet ﷺ. And these innovations were of both extremes. What extremes? One was the extreme of exalting them. Right? Exalting the companions, exalting the family of the Prophet ﷺ above their rightful status. And the other extreme was? What? What do you think it was? Not giving them their haqq, disrespecting them, right? Treating the family of the Prophet ﷺ like any other family. No big deal. So what if they were the relatives of Rasulullah ﷺ? And in fact, they went to such an extreme that they said that the family of the Prophet ﷺ or the companions, they did not remain believers. And we must curse them and we must hate them. So the Ahlu Sunnah, what is their attitude towards such people, towards such innovators? Tabarru. We dissociate ourselves with them. We have nothing to do with such people who lie either in praise or in criticism of the companions. We have nothing to do with them. وَيَتَبَرَّؤُونَ And they dissociate themselves, meaning the Ahlus Sunnah dissociate themselves, مِنْ طَرِيقَةِ From the way of الروافض. The Rawafid. Who are the Rawafid? الَّذِينَ Those who يَبْغَضُونَ الصَّحَابَ Who hate the companions. And they don't just hate them, وَيَسُبُّونَهُمْ And they also verbally abuse them. So the Ahlus Sunnah, they dissociate themselves from the way of the Rawafid. And they also dissociate themselves from women and from طريقة النواصب, the way of the نواصب. Who are the نواصب? الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ Those who harm and hurt the family of the Prophet ﷺ. How do they hurt them? بِقَوْلٍ With their words, أَوْ عَمَلٍ Or with their actions. Two extremes. One extreme was of the روافض. And the other extreme was of the نواصب. Who are the روافض? الَّذِينَ يَبْغَضُونَ الصَّحَابَ Those who hate the companions and verbally abuse them. Basically, the Rawafid were those who exaggerated in the case of Ali radiallahu anhu. And the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they exaggerated, meaning they exalted, over-exalted the status of Ali radiallahu anhu. And especially the family of Ali radiallahu anhu. So Fatima, Hassan, Hussein, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. So, in this exaggeration, what did they do? They hated the rest of the companions. They said, we don't like Abu Bakr, because Ali should have been the Khalifa. We don't like Umar, because Ali should have been the Khalifa. We don't like Uthman, because Ali should have been the Khalifa. We don't like Muawiyah, we don't like all of these companions. Why? Because of such and such reason. In their love for Ali radiallahu anhum, they began hating the other companions. So much so that they even hated the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha radhiyallahu anha, especially. Now, why is it that they're called Rawafid? Because they abandoned Zayd bin Ali bin Hussein bin Ali radhiyallahu anhu. So, Zayd, who was one of the great grandchildren of Ali radhiyallahu anhu, when he was asked by the Rawafid that what do you say about Abu Bakr and Umar, he praised them because Ali radhiyallahu anhu also praised Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu, and his descendants also, they all praised Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. So these people, the Rawafid, they got very upset and they abandoned him. They left him. So Rafada. So from that, they were known as the Rafida, Rawafid. And they attack the companions, both with their hearts as well as their tongues. How do they attack the companions with their hearts? That they hate them. They abhor them. Except those companions whom they chose as a means to achieve their own ideas. So basically any companion whom they could use to show the superiority of Ali radiallahu anhu, they said, okay, these companions were good. But all the rest of the companions, what did they do? They hated them. All right, and they continue to hate them. You know, for example, there is a quote that apparently Abu Ja'far said, the people, including the Sahaba, all became apostate after the Prophet ﷺ, except for three. And then when he was asked that who were they, he replied, Miqdad bin Aswad, Abu Dhar, and Salman al-Farsi. Why did they make exceptions of these three? Because there was something that they used about these companions to prove the superiority of Ali radiallahu anhu over the rest of the companions. All right. So basically what did they do? They just selected a few companions. They said, these are good, everyone else, bad. يَبْغَضُونَ الصَّحَابَ And they didn't stop there. They also attacked the Sahaba with their tongues. How? Abuse, curse, lie, defame. They accuse them of apostasy. And this continues till today, where false stories, absolute lies are invented. And they're said, narrated. Why? In order to create hatred for the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But remember that attacking the Sahaba, in reality, this is not just attacking the Sahaba. This is what? Attacking the religion of Allah. Because to say that all of the people apostated, what does that show? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had no effect on the people? What was the point of him being sent as the last messenger if the people left the religion after him? The deen did not become zahir? Right? So this is attacking the religion of Allah. This is attacking the Prophet ﷺ. So this is the reason why we have to be very, very careful. The Sahaba were the ones who were trusted by the Prophet ﷺ. They were his successors. They carried his mission forward. They were those who preserved the deen, who passed the deen on. So if we doubt them, what are we doubting? Their religion, basically. And the other extreme was of the Nawasib. Who are the Nawasib? الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. They hate who? The family of the Prophet ﷺ. Rawafid hate the companions. Nawasib hate the family. Attacking them, verbally abusing them. So basically the Nawasib are the opposite of Rawafid. Nawasib, this group, they basically came about when they saw the Rawafid exaggerating with the members of the Prophet's family. Okay. When they saw that the Rawafid are really exaggerating, you know, highly praising, and they have extremely exaggerated views concerning the family of the Prophet ﷺ, they went to the opposite end of the spectrum. And they said, you know what? We're going to hate the family of the Prophet ﷺ in order to show that you are wrong. And in doing that, they verbally abuse the family. Is this correct? No. Balance is necessary. Remaining on the haqq is necessary. There was a man at the time of Ali radiallahu anhu. And this man, he started saying words of praise for Ali radiallahu anhu. His name was Abdullah bin Saba. Okay? And he went to the extent of saying to Ali radiallahu anhu that you are Allah. So Ali radiallahu anhu, he became so angry. This was ghadab for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Ali radiallahu anhu said that this man should be punished. Because if he's not severely punished, what's going to happen? His views are going to spread. And severe punishment to also show as an ibrah, alright, he ordered that this man should be killed, and not just killed but burnt. So this man, he said, now I am even more certain that you are Allah. Now imagine, either this man was really lying or he was really being played by Iblis. Right? So in either case, if you see, the thing is that at the time of Ali radiallahu anhu especially, there was a lot of political unrest. And all of these, you know, this extremism that came about, whether it was in defense of the family of the Prophet ﷺ or against them, in defense of the companions or against them, extremism, any form of extremism, it came about because of political reasons. Political reasons. And it affected the aqidah of people also. The belief of people also. So, the Sahaba, they were amazing people. They had no greed for power. They were too good to fight for power. And even if they had differences amongst them, as we will study, and even if they did make a mistake, it's all over now. If they did not hold grudges against each other, then who are we to hold on to those vast stories, the truth of which we cannot even know today? What's the purpose of all of this? So we have to stay away from extremes. The extremism of Rawafid as well as the extremism of the Nawasib. You may have heard the term Nasibi. وَيُمْسِكُونَ وَيُمْسِكُونَ, and they refrain, meaning the Ahlu Sunnah refrain, عَمَّ, from whatever شَجَرَ, it developed, it occurred. بَيْنَ الصَّحَابَ, between the Sahaba. شَجَرَ, what does it mean? What is a شَجَرَ? A tree. شَجَرَ is a verb. The word that you see over here is a verb. Right? Basically, when there's one tree, one trunk, but then what happens? One branch this way, another branch that way, another branch this way. Multiple branches coming out from one trunk. So it refers to the differences and the disputes, the fights that broke out between the companions, that developed over time between the companions. The companions, they were human beings, and they differed amongst themselves over certain matters. What is the way of the Ahlu Sunnah? Yumsikuna. They refrain from delving into these matters. The Sahaba had differences. Those differences even led to certain battles. Okay. It's done. It's over. We don't need to highlight those differences. Think about it. In a family, between husband and wife, between mother and father, are there ever any disputes? Are there?
There are, right? Sometimes the father is right and sometimes the mother is right. So then what do? Because my father is right, I'm not going to talk to my mother. Is that what your attitude should be? No, you say, this is their issue. I'm going to stay away from it as much as I can. Right? And if your mother does speak to you about it, you know, you can give her some advice or something, but that doesn't mean that you will begin to disrespect your father. You acknowledge the status, the rights of your father. You acknowledge the status, the rights of your mother. Even if those disputes, those differences occurred 10 years ago, and even if there's, you know, the family is separated, still, you will give haqq to your father because he is your father. And you will give haqq to your mother because she is your mother. And this is exactly how we view the companions. They had differences, they had disputes, they even went to war with each other. That was their issue. We, as believers, what is our duty? We respect the companions, we love them. وَيُمْسِكُونَ عَمَّا شَجَرَ بَيْنَ الصَّحَابَةِ وَيَقُولُونَ And they say, meaning the Ahlus Sunnah say, that إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْآثَارِ Indeed, all of these آثار, آثار meaning reports. Which reports? الْمَرْوِيَّ That have been narrated, fi concerning masawihim, you know, their shortcomings, meaning the disputes, the shortcomings, the errors, the mistakes of the companions, whatever that has been reported. Remember that all of these narrations, minha among them, is ma that which huwa kadhib. It's completely false. Some reports are absolute lies, meaning they have no reality to them. They're fabricated. By who? By the Nawasib. They're fabricated. وَمِنْهَا And among them, meaning some other reports, مَا is that which قَدْ زِيدَ فِيهِ Additions have been made to them. They've been exaggerated. وَنَقَصَ And it has also been reduced, meaning parts of them have been deleted. And as a result, وَغُيِّرَ And they have been changed عَنْ وَجْهِهِ الصَّرِيحِ From their clear, correct state. Think about it. Any major event that happens, even today, you read about that event on BBC and you get one angle. And you read about the same thing on another in another newspaper and you find something completely different. You hear about that incident being reported on TV, completely different report. Right? So much so that country to country, the views will change. And forget about what the media represents or what the media portrays. If you look at social media, what the people are saying, that is also completely different. So then, think about it. If today you cannot have an accurate understanding of what really took place, why? Because every person is saying something different. Why? Some people are lying, making things up. Some people are exaggerating. And some people are leaving certain very important details out. Can you get the true picture today? No, you cannot. Now think about something that happened hundreds of years ago, over a millennium ago. Can you have an absolutely correct picture of it? You cannot. I mean, what happened in the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ, that's different. Alright? But later on, people, they became emotionally involved, politically involved, and that's the reason why the truth was hidden. It was changed. So, basically, the point that is being made over here is that every report or everything that is narrated about the disputes that took place between Ali radiallahu anhu and Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, they're not necessarily reliable. They're not necessarily accurate. But there are some which are accurate. So, for example, if there's a report that is given in Bukhari, will you not accept it? Of course you will accept it. So he says, وَالصَّحِيحُ مِنْهُ And those which are accurate among those reports, then remember that whom they are, fihi in it, meaning the companions, they are concerning it, ma'dhurun, they are excused. So for example, certain things we cannot verify. Certain details of the disputes we cannot verify. But can we verify that the Battle of Siffin took place? Of course, it's a historical fact. Who fought on the two sides? Who was fighting against who? It was the companions fighting against certain other companions. Now, for us, this is something so difficult to understand, to accept that how could Ali radiallahu anhu go to war with Muawiyah radiallahu anhu? How is it possible? Remember that وَالصَّحِيحُ مِنْهُ, those that are authentic, the companions, they are فِيهِ مَعْذُورُونَ, they are excused. We're not going to highlight their mistakes. Why? What's the reason? Because the Sahaba, if they did something, even if they went to war with each other, remember that they did whatever they did based on their ijtihad. What is ijtihad? Ijtihad, it's from juhud, right? And what is juhud? Jahad. Your maximum effort, right? So if there is a new issue concerning which there is no clear guidance given in the Quran and Sunnah, all right, then what will a person do? He will use his maximum effort to see what can be done. He will remember what has been stated in the Quran, what guidance we learn from the Sunnah, and based on that, he will make his decision that we're going to go with this or we're not going to go with this. All right? Now, remember that a mujtahid, when a person does ijtihad, he is a person of knowledge. He was sincere in his intention. He did his best to make the decision that he did eventually make. He did his best. He did not rush, you know, in it. He took advice from the people. Then, if he, from hadith, what do we learn? That if he was correct in that ijtihad, he will have double reward. And if he made a mistake in that ijtihad, then he gets one reward. So the Sahaba, yes, they were not ma'asum. They were not completely innocent. They were human beings. However, we will have husnul dhann of them. We will think good about the companions. That whatever they did, they based it on their understanding, on their ijtihad. All right? And yes, in certain situations, we might see that Ali radiallahu anhu was more upon the truth and Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was not. Okay, that's your understanding. That's your opinion. But remember that hum fihi ma'dhurun. The Sahaba, they were excused. Why? Because imma, either they were mujtahidun, those who did ijtihad, and they were musibun, they were correct in their ijtihad. Wa imma, or they were mujtahidun, those who did ijtihad, mukhti'un, and they were mistaken in that ijtihad. In either case, we will think good about them. And we will hope that Allah will still reward them, because they did their best to do that which was right. Now, this is natural. Two people, both of them are sincerely trying to do the best, you know, that is available to them, that is within their means. But they're two different people, and they think differently. They think differently. For Ali radiallahu anhu, you know, taking a particular course of action was the best thing to do in that time. For Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, it was something else. Basically, when Uthman radiallahu anhu was killed, a group of Muslims, they said that, you know, take revenge from the people who killed Uthman radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu said that there's so much instability. If we start waging war in Medina, what's going to happen? So hold on. Let things stabilize a little bit, and then we will call these people to account. But Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, on the other hand, he wanted things to speed up. And this is what happens in normal circumstances also. Things were perfectly fine. Miscommunication, misunderstanding. Each person thinks he's doing the right thing, and it needs to be done immediately. And in that process, a fight breaks out. Right? So the companions, whatever happened between them, what should be our attitude? Yumsikuna. We should just not talk about it. We don't need to delve into this. It wasn't the Battle of Badr. It wasn't the Battle of Uhud that we need to, you know, learn about in order to understand the Quran. وَهُمْ مَعَ ذَلِكَ, and they along with that, meaning the Ahlus Sunnah, along with this, meaning they think positively about the companions, and along with that, لَا يَعْتَقِدُونَ, they do not hold this belief. What belief? That أَنَّ كُلَّ وَاحِدٍ مِّنَ الصَّحَابَةِ, that every single one from the companions was ma'asumun, was innocent. عَنْ كَبَائِرِ الْإِثْمِ, from major sins, وَصَغَائِرِهِ, and the minor ones. No, we don't believe that the companions were absolutely perfect human beings, ma'asum, protected from sins. No, they were human beings. Some of them even committed major sins, and others committed minor sins. بَلْ تَجُوزُ, rather, it is permissible, it is possible, عَلَيْهِمْ, for them, الذُّنُوبُ, sins, fil jumla, in general. Meaning, in general, it is possible that the companions did commit sins because they were human beings. Some committed major and others committed minor. But just because they were human beings like us and they made a mistake, that doesn't mean we say that they left their religion. No. Now, Remember that even in the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ, did the companions make mistakes? Of course. Think about Hassan ibn Thabit, radiallahu anhu. What a great companion he was. But at the incident of Ifk, he was actually one of those people who said that, I mean, he spoke against Aisha radiallahu anha. Misbah. He was also a believer. Hamna bint Jahsh. Even she spoke against Aisha radiallahu anha. So, major mistake was made. However, purification was also done. It was done. So, this is something that we need to remember. The companions were human beings. They had differences. Yes, certain things, it's very difficult for us to understand today. If you study Islamic history, it's very depressing. Parts of it are very depressing, especially after the Khulafa Rashidun. So, because we think that the way the Prophet was, everybody was on the same page, all the companions were together, things should have continued in that way. But they were human beings. Do we not have differences amongst ourselves? Of course. And these are all tests. Tests for who? People who are living with those differences and people who are watching them. So, what benefit will it serve us today if we highlight the disputes of the companions? And if we highlight their mistakes or their errors, what benefit is it going to serve us today? Nothing at all. And remember that وَلَهُمْ and for them, meaning for the companions, مِنَ السَّوَابِقْ. They had سَوَابِقْ. What is سَوَابِقْ? From سَابِقَ, meaning past. Meaning they possessed precedence, they had certain virtues from before. وَالْفَضَائِلْ, meaning they had a good record from before. وَالْفَضَائِلْ, and virtues. مَا يُجِبُ, which necessitates, which warrants, مَغْفِرَةَ, forgiveness, pardon, for what? مَا يَصْدُرُ مِنْهُ, for whatever that occurred from them. إِنْ صَدَرَ, if it even happened. That the companions, they all had such a good record from before, that if they did make certain mistakes later on in their lives, then you know what? What they did before was enough to bring them forgiveness. Remember the example of Hatib ibn Abi Balta. He was a companion who was present at Badr. What happened when the Prophet ﷺ intended to go to Makkah to conquer it? He sent a secret letter to his family. Right? And the Prophet ﷺ was informed about it through wahi. And he sent Ali radiallahu anhu after that woman who was taking the letter to Makkah. That woman was stopped and the letter was taken from her, and Hatib radiallahu anhu clearly proven guilty. Umar radiallahu anhu, what did he say? Allow me to kill him. But what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He said, what do you know? Indeed, he participated in Badr. What do you know? Perhaps Allah has looked upon the people of Badr and said, do whatever you like, I have pardoned you. So the companions, they had sawabiq, previous good record, and fada'il, certain virtues, because of which maghfira is wajib for them for the mistakes that they would make later on, if they even happened. This is just like if, you know, somebody has always worked really nicely with you, always, and then one day they make a mistake. Will you overlook their mistake? Why? Because of the previous record, the good record. But if someone has always maintained a bad record with you, then what will happen if they make a small mistake even? You're like, that's it, I'm done with them. So the Sahaba, they had a good record. Hatta, such that, innahum, indeed they, yughfaru lahum min as-sayyi'ati. Their sins are forgiven. Ma la, that which is not, yughfaru, is forgiven, liman ba'dahum, for those who came after them. The companions, because of the time that they spent with the Prophet ﷺ, because of how they supported him, they helped him, they obeyed him, because of those services, their sins are forgiven later on. Why? Because of what they did. And those sins are forgiven for them, not for others. لِأَنَّ لَهُمْ, because indeed they have مِنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ, of good deeds, أَلَّتِي تَمْحُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ, which erase bad deeds. مَا لَيْسَ لِمَنْ بَعْدَهُمْ. مَا لَيْسَ, which is not the case. لِمَنْ, for who? بَعْدَهُمْ, who came after them. Because the companions, remember, they participated in Badr. Then they were present at the Bay'atul Ridwan, as we learned earlier. Right? So, because of all of these things, later on, if they did make a mistake, inshallah, those mistakes will be overlooked. Why? Because of their previous accomplishments. Is this the case with everybody else? No. مَا لَيْسَ لِمَنْ بَعْدَهُمْ. This cannot be the case with those who came after them. وَقَدْ سَبَتَ, and it has been established, بِقَوْلِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, with the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, أَنَّهُمْ, that indeed they, خَيْرُ الْقُرُونِ, they were the best of the generations. They were indeed the best generation. وَأَنَّ الْمُدَّ, and that indeed a mud. What is a mud? When you bring two hands together, and the handful of that, and the fill of that. وَأَنَّ الْمُدَّ, and the mud مِنْ أَحَدِهِمْ, of one of them, meaning of one of the companions, إِذَا تَصَدَّقَ بِهِ, when he gave charity of it, كَانَ, it would be أَفْضَلَ, more superior, مِنْ جَبَلِ أُحُدٍ, than Mount Uhud, ذَهَبًا, in gold, مِمَّنْ بَعْدَهُمْ, from those who came after them. The Sahaba reached such a level which cannot be reached by anyone who came after them. ثُمَّ إِذَا كَانَ, then إِذَا كَانَ, when قَدْ صَدَرَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمْ ذَنْبٌ, when one of them did make a mistake, meaning later on, if a companion even made a mistake, فَيَكُونُ قَدْ تَابَ مِنْهُ, then it's possible that he repented from it. You understand? That if, for the sake of argument, if you even say that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu made a mistake, okay. Or Muawiyah radiallahu anhu made a mistake, okay. فَيَكُونُ قَدْ تَابَ مِنْهُ, then perhaps he repented from it. Or أَتَى, he came بِحَسَنَاتٍ, with good deeds, تَمْحُوهُ, that erased that sin. That later on, perhaps they performed such good deeds that erased those sins. So we see that the companions, they were protected from both sides, their past and also their future. How? That if they made a mistake, then remember that previously they had performed such good deeds, which would be a cause of forgiveness for their sins. And then if they did commit those sins later on, it's possible that they repented from it. Or it's possible that they performed certain good deeds which erased that sin, that mistake. Because إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. أَوْ غُفِرَ لَهُ, or it was forgiven for him, meaning he was forgiven for it. Why? بِفَضْلِ سَابِقَتِهِ, because of the virtue of his سَابِقَ, meaning his previous good deed. Or بِشَفَاعَةِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, or perhaps he will be forgiven for it. Why? Because of the intercession of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. And why would they not be worthy of that intercession? Because الَّذِي, which whom they are, the companions are, أَحَقُّ النَّاسِ بِشَفَاعَتِهِ, most deserving of people of his intercession. The companions are who? Closest to the Prophet ﷺ, right? So they would be most deserving of his shafa'ah in the hereafter. Or أُبُتُنِيَ, he was tested, meaning that companion was tested, بِبَلَاءٍ, with some trial, فِي الدُّنْيَا, in this world, كُفِّرَ بِهِ عَنْهُ. And because of that trial, his sin was expiated for. You understand? So over here we have been given so many reasons to think good about the companions, even if we found out about their mistakes, about their shortcomings. What's the lesson here? What's the lesson from this entire discussion? That to think positively about the companions, always have husnul dhann about the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were honored with Suhba, with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were honored to be present at Badr, at Uhud, at Khandaq, at Tabuk, at so many occasions. They were with him, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were with him always. And later on, if they made a mistake, that just shows they were human beings. So if they made a mistake, don't highlight those mistakes. Don't dwell upon them. Don't talk about them all the time. Get over them. Why? Because look at their entire record. Right? Don't just highlight their mistakes. Look at their entire record. Like, for example, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. I mean, people criticize him a lot to the point that they don't even say radiallahu anhu. Even though he was a companion, the Prophet ﷺ made dua for him. That, oh Allah, make him hadiyan mahdiyan. Rightly guided and a source of guidance for others. The Prophet ﷺ made dua for him. And who are we to say, you know, criticize him and, you know, highlight his mistakes. Okay, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was the first one to appoint his son as the next Khalifa. And this was something that the companions did not welcome. Okay, what benefit of the doubt are we going to give here? He did his ijtihad, there must have been a good reason. And if he did make a mistake, then remember that he did such and such and such good before, and perhaps he repented from it, or perhaps in the hereafter he'll be forgiven for it. You know, there's a statement that those who talk about the mistakes of others most are themselves, you know, in error the most. People who talk about other people's faults the most are themselves most at fault. What right do we have to talk about the mistakes of the companions? فَإِذَا كَانَ هَذَا Then when this is possible, فِي الدُّنُوبِ Concerning sins that are al-muhaqqaqati, verified. Verified sins, like for example, zina. Is it certainly a sin? A verified sin? Of course. Shirk, is it a verified sin? Of course it is. But can it be forgiven if a person does tawbah? Can it be forgiven if a person performs good deeds later on? Yes. What do we learn? وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا All of these sins are what? Those which take to hellfire. يُضَاعَفْ لَهُ الْعَذَابُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَيَخْلُدْ فِيهِ مُهَانًا إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ So if this is possible for these sins even, that if a person repents from them, he's forgiven. فَكَيْفَ Then how? بِالْأُمُورِ With matters التي كانوا فيها مجتهدين About which they were مجتهد Meaning the companions, they really wanted to do good when they made those decisions, when they adopted that course of action. التي كانوا فيها مجتهدين Think about it. A person is deliberately committing zina. And then later on he feels guilty and he repents from it. Is there a chance of forgiveness for him? Yes, inshallah. When a person is not even committing something that he considers to be a sin, he's thinking that he's doing something good for a good reason. By that he's seeking wajhullah. There's ikhlas over there. Because that is what we think about the companions, right? Husnul dhan. Then even though it was wrong, even though it was a mistake, should there be no forgiveness for them? There should be. In asabu falahum ajran. If they were right, they get double reward. Wa in akhta'u. And if they made a mistake, falahum ajrun wahid. Then they will get one reward. And wal khata. And the mistake, it is maghfurun lahum. They're forgiven for that. Thumma. Then. Now after this, look at the, you know, the mistakes of the companions which are highlighted. Just look at them. Are they even really big mistakes? They're blown out of proportion. So he says, ثُمَّ then, إِنَّ indeed الْقَدْرَ The degree. Al-Qadr over here doesn't mean fate. Okay? Al-Qadr in its literal sense, the degree, the measure. الَّذِي which يُنْكَرُ It is found objectionable. مِنْ فِعْلِ بَعْضِهِمْ From the actions of some of them. قَلِيلٌ It's very little. Meaning, their mistakes, some of the companions, their mistakes, if you analyze those mistakes, they are quite small. Nazrun, insignificant. Maghfurun, and obscure, forgiven. Fi jambi, because of jambi fada'il al-qawm. In comparison to the fada'il, the virtues of those people. Wa mahasinihim, and their good qualities. Meaning the mistakes that are highlighted, just look at them. Compare them with the accomplishments of the companions. Look at the mistakes. What is their reality? What is their size? What is their severity? Compared to the good that they have accomplished. Because we have to be fair, right? We have to examine everything. We can't just highlight on the mistakes, and we cannot even highlight on the positive things. ثُمَّ إِنَّ الْقَدْرَ The degree to which الَّذِي يُنْكَرُ To which it is found objectionable. What is found objectionable? مِنْ فِعْلِ بَعْضِهِمْ of the actions of some of them, then the degree that is found objectionable, it is very qaleel, it's very little. Nazrun, insignificant, and maghfurun, forgiven. Fi jambi, in comparison to fada'il al-qawm, the virtues of those people. Wa mahasinihim, and their good qualities. This is just like if there is some food, and you don't like the fact that there is bell pepper in it, because you don't like cooked bell pepper. What are you told? Come on, there's so much other stuff in it that you like, that you enjoy. Focus on that. Why are you highlighting on that little bell pepper? Why? Ignore it. Put it on the side and eat the rest of it. Right? So likewise, the companions, don't focus on their faults. Look at the good that they have accomplished. What good did they accomplish? Min al-imani billahi, of iman billah. You have a problem with Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu? Look at the iman that he had. He was called Siddiq. Wa rasulihi, and look at the iman that he had in his messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wal jihadi fi sabili, and look at the jihad that they did in Allah's way. Wal hijra, they also did hijra. Wal nusra, and they also helped after the hijra. They didn't say, oh, we've done hijra, so that's sufficient for us. No. After hijra, nusra after nusra, meaning battle after battle, they participated in it. Wal ilm nafir, and beneficial knowledge which they learned and which they taught. Wal amal salih, and the general good deeds which they performed, by which we take inspiration from today. Isn't it? We just learn about the actions of Abu Bakr radhiyallahu anhu, for example, the kind of charity he gave, the kind of ihsan he did towards so many different people, even early in the morning. Remember once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, anyone gone to visit the sick? Abu Bakr. Anyone fasting? Abu Bakr. In janazah? Abu Bakr. So early in the day, he had already done so much good. So, okay, if they even made a mistake, don't forget the good that they did. وَمَنْ نَظَرَ, and whoever looks at, فِي سِيرَةِ الْقَوْمِ, in the seerah of these people. If you study the biographies of these people, بِعِلْمٍ, with knowledge, meaning actually study from their ilm and not rumors. Because that is also done, right? Many rumors are spread about the companions. False stories. Absolute lies. That even seem far from reality. You know, for example, it is said that Fatima radhiyallahu anha, she was expecting and she demanded from one of the companions the land that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had left for her. And was it Umar radhiyallahu anhu that they say? That he pushed her or something. And can it ever be imagined? Umar radhiyallahu anhu. You know, Umar radhiyallahu anhu, he wanted to have a connection with the Ahlul Bayt. So he proposed to the daughter of Ali radhiyallahu anhu, and he married her. Ali radhiyallahu anhu accepted. This was the love that existed between those companions. And we behave like this. We'll push someone and we'll hate someone. And we think that the companions were people like us, fighting over petty issues. If you really study the seerah of these people, bi'ilmin, with knowledge, وَبَصِيرَةٍ, and with insight, open your eyes, open your mind. Be broad-minded. وَمَا مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, and that which Allah favored them with, بِهِ with it, مِنَ الْفَضَائِلِ, of various virtues. عَلِمَ, he would know, meaning a person who studies this, he would know, يَقِينًا, with certainty, أَنَّهُمْ, that indeed they, the Sahaba, they were خَيْرُ الْخَلْقِ, they were the best creation, بعد الأنبياء, after the prophets. And this is no exaggeration. Studying the seerah of the companions will truly illustrate this, that the companions were truly the best of creation after the prophets of Allah. The highest status, prophets, and then after them, the companions. So much so that they were better than the Hawariyun. They were better than the Naqibs, the Nuqaba of Musa alayhi salam. They were better than those who believed in Nuh alayhi salam. They were better than those who believed in Hud alayhi salam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has testified to the great virtue, the great merits of the companions. Kuntum khayra ummatin. You are the best nation. Every prophet had a nation, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the Sahaba best nation, which means that they were even better than the Hawariyun. Remember the Hawariyun? فَكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. Who were the shahideen? The Sahaba. Right? So, لَا كَانَ وَلَا يَكُونُ مِثْلُهُمْ. لا كان, there was not, ولا يكون, and there shall never be مثلهم, anyone like them. They were the best people. If you study history, you will find no one who was like the companions. And at present, in the future, again, no one who will be like the companions. وَأَنَّهُمْ, and indeed they, الصَّفْوَةُ, the elite, مِنْ قُرُونِ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ, of the different generations of this ummah. This ummah also, many generations, right? And the Sahaba were? What? What were they? The cream, the best. مِنْ أَنَّهُمْ الصَّفْوَةُ مِنْ قُرُونِ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ الَّتِي, which is, meaning this ummah is, هي خَيْرُ الْأُمَمْ, it's the best of all nations. وَأَكْرَمُهَا, and most honorable, عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, to Allah the Exalted. So think about it, from all of mankind, the best nation, ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that has different generations. From all of those generations, which generation was the best? The first generation. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, خَيْرُ الْقُرُونِ قَرْنِي, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ قَرْنِي. The best people were those of his time, his companions. So really, they were the elite of this ummah. And because of this reason, there shall never be found the likes of them, neither in the past, nor in the present, and never in the future. They were really the best of the best. And this is the reason why we love them, and we respect them, and we befriend them, and we praise them, and we do not hate them. And if they did make a mistake, then you know what? We have more mistakes. We make more mistakes. If we start worrying about the mistakes that we have made, then we wouldn't worry about the mistakes that the companions did. And if they did make mistakes, then you know what? We'll think positively about them. We'll have personal fun about them.
There might be fights within family or friends, and then you only focus on the negative in that person to the point that you might break the tie. But in fact, Allah's rahmah is connected to family, for example. And so you miss out on all the beneficial qualities of that person. So with respect to Sahaba, the same way, like you said, the qualities of Abu Bakr, Siddiq, and all of them, why would you learn them if you have a negative image of them based on one quality? So even now, like while studying, I noticed that sometimes some scholars might say something, or there might be a small incident, and it is like taken up on the internet. It's such extensive length of discussion between people that they forget that this person has been narrating like a lot of beneficial studies and knowledgeable stuff, and now they're only focusing on what he said to so and so and what she said, and that's all that they remember.
And simply just remember that they believe. If they believe, then who are we to hate them? Who are we to dislike them? It's as simple as that. The family of the Prophet ﷺ, we love them because of their iman and because of their kinship. But first, because of their iman. The Sahaba also, we love them because of their iman. So if they had iman, why do we have a problem with them?
As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالسَّابِقُونَ وَالسَّابِقُونَ أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرِّبُونَ.
Yes, and they were truly sabiqun in so many ways. Anyway, inshallah, we'll conclude here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Inshallah, next week we should complete our book. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.